Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us. And we are just so excited about today's show. We thank God, but we want to tell everybody, please go to www.cityonahill.tv. And you know, there's a lot of that do not like what we talk about. And unfortunately, our internet has been having problems, and so going to our website just by putting in cityonahill.tv is a problem right now. So you'll have to put in the www.cityonahill.tv and find us and share the podcast of today. It's going to be incredible because God in his goodness has allowed our good friend all the way in Italy, well, England. Really, he is a spokesperson for Tea Party Italia, or should I correct that, Tea Party the World, Luca?
Well, I don't know. You can say it. Yeah, typically I am still international member of Tea Party Italy, but yes, we also work with the worldwide Tea Party. And everybody.
Hello, and Don Wilden from California is with us along with Luca Voci, and I need to turn this over right on to our dear Mrs. Barbara Moore so she can start us on the right foundation. God is amazing good to us. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Okay, well, we know how to start. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, O God, for your many blessings of this day. Lord, your word tells us that every day you load us down with benefits, and many times we don't see those benefits. But, Father, you are the giver of all good gifts, and it is by your hand, Father, that we are blessed. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to speak on the radio and to hear from our guests, Father, and learn of your truths, Father, spoken through them, eternal truths, Father. That are so meaningful and so significant, Lord, that we want to receive them. We want to have them planted deep within us, Lord.
Ms. Barbara, did we lose you? I'm so sorry. Don, can y'all hear me? Hello? Don or anybody? Okay, I'm having problems, I guess.
Lord, that you will bring good out of it. And Father, that many will come to know you personally and know you better and love you more deeply through this time of sorrow. Thank you, Father, that you transform our lives as we trust in you and give everything to you, Lord. You take what is just awful and you can turn it and use it for good in all of our lives. Help us to remember that, Father, that every challenge we face, every difficulty we face, oh God, whether it's individually, with our families, or in our nations, Lord, that we can give it to you, Lord, and you can turn and use it for good. Father, we present ourselves to you as a living sacrifice for your purpose on this earth and your pleasure. Let us be your hands and your feet and your mouth and your ears and your arms of love and comfort, oh God, wherever we are. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. And for a moment there, I thought I lost everybody because I could not hear you. So we might be having a little bit of problems, though, but we are going to give this conversation to God. He is in control. So I'm so excited because we also have another friend with us, Neil Mammon. Hi, Neil. Are you on?
I am on, indeed.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start this off. I don't know who to give the floor to first. And, Don, I'm going to give it to Luca first, and then we'll go from there. How are you doing, Don? I hadn't said hi to you, first of all.
I'm doing great. I hope everybody else is. It's a beautiful Monday.
Indeed.
Oh, indeed it is. And, you know, I just feel sorry about this. You know, it's just like the enemy to try to distract. So we're not going to be distracted.
That's all right.
We'll
get it straight now.
We'll get
Must
it done.
Be
and
something
you know?
Important going on. That's why the universe is conspiring not to let the truth be heard. Come on.
Wow.
Here?
We're all on board, and I just about can say that this is about loving our brothers and sisters. This is because we care about our countries, and most of all, it is God in our hearts because, you know, he is the giver of love, and I know I love because he lives inside of me, and so we want to share it to the whole world, and today we have an audience of really the whole world. I saw some of the postings on your website, Luca, so thank God, you know, there's people everywhere listening. So we're going to turn it over to you because I titled this, Greece, the Face of Socialism. And for those in America that thinks, you know, oh, things are never going to get that bad, we're not going down that road. Well, Luca, I don't know where you want to go, but go ahead and you've got four.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm always the bearer of bad news because I have to do this because I come from a socialist country, unfortunately. That was Italy. And then I moved here, and the UK, I live in London right now, and it's slightly less socialistic than the rest of continental Europe, but we can see that things are just sliding towards it. And all the good people in America think that, yeah, Europe is far away, there is an ocean between us, things will never be as bad as they are over there, over here. Unfortunately, you know, that's not exactly how things are. Things are sliding everywhere towards statism and towards socialism. And that's a fact, unfortunately. And we have seen so many things in the news recently, especially from the Mediterranean countries. So not, not only Greece, Italy and Spain and so on. And, you know, this is just very bad for us because we have seen that the dynamics that they are in place are constantly moving towards more government intervention, more government activism, and less freedom and less free market for everyone. And this is all going to happen very fast, because all the machines have been in place for years. They were waiting for a crisis to just escalate again, like it happened in the Great Depression. During the Great Depression, in the 20s and so on, thanks to the policies of the real Republicans back in that era, limited government was very much in vogue, and limited government created the boom of the 20s, and then the big crisis happened, and there were lots of people there that were really scared, and people did not see a way out of the situation, and so the statists and socialists, very thinly disguised, they came up and said, yes, we have a solution, and we will put more government action, and we'll just put a small income tax, and then we raise it just a bit, and just a bit more, and then a bit more, and then some taxes, and then some regulations, and then some government agencies, and then, you know, the wonders of the world, everything will be there, and everything will be open. Didn't really go that well. In Europe, we had the same process. Then there was the war, we had to rebuild everything, and they had a great idea. Let's go welfare state. Everybody pays, and some people do nothing. And it worked really well for some people. And then right now, the government doesn't really have any more money. And so right now, you have in Greece, you have the people that are rebelling against the same people in Germany and elsewhere that have given them money to keep on spending like there's no tomorrow. So right now, they are fighting against reality. The people in Greece, they are on the streets and they are voting for left-wing parties because they think, yeah, I don't want to pay for it. I want to go. I want to retire when I'm 50. I want to have all my benefits. I want to retire. I don't want to pay for that. Let the Germans pay. And in France, we've seen something very similar. There was center-right government, not really well doing, and you have a leftist government, and it was there, and the president was elected, and it's a left-wing president, and this left-wing president is going to just, you know, promise everything to everyone, and raise taxes, and do stuff, and it's insane. In Italy, we've been having things similar to that. It's just that the government is raising taxes so much that the people don't have any more money to pay. And so they're coming out with clever ways to get money out of us and to get what they want. They want our houses. They want our property. They want everything. And right now they're going to just change, and there's going to be a law in place in a few days, and it's going to be personal bankruptcy law. I know in the Anglo-Saxon world it's pretty common, but in continental Europe we never had something like that. So some people, they said, yeah, it's reasonable. If you don't have any money, you can have a bankruptcy plan, and so you can repay your debt, and it's going to do it. But some people obtained the draft of this law. And actually, the point of this law is just to give the banks and the financial authorities the power to take away everything you own and leave you with nothing. So take away your house, take away your means of living, your car, everything, because they have to get the money somewhere. And right now, they were waiting for it. They were waiting for it. They were just there. They just say, finally, now I can do it. And finally, I can shove it down their throat, and there is nothing they can do. And right now, I think 10 days ago, there was a law, another law, because this government, this Mr. Monti's government, is in overdrive. It's making one law every day, one new tax every day. It's, my God, they are hyperactive. And right now, they just passed the law and said that when there is a national, you know, natural calamity, like an earthquake or a hurricane or something, the government is not going to pay for anything. Yesterday, there was an earthquake in central Italy. And a lot of damage. It was a 6.0 earthquake. And so people, in a few days, they're going to wake up and realize that their house was destroyed. But the government is not going to pay for it. Nobody's going to rebuild. And if you don't have any insurance, you will have nothing. And they will just, I hope, I pray, that they will wake up. Because it's not like the government is saying, oh, I will not pay for your for natural disaster damage, but I'm reducing your tax. No. Taxes stay exactly as they are. We're just not going to pay for it. And right now, people don't have insurance because they were relying on the government. And that's why I say to all people in America that right now they're just thinking, yeah, but our government is better. Our government will never do that to us. Well, think again. Think again really hard. Because making deals with the devil is never a good bet. So this is what is going on right now in Europe, and it's not going to be pretty. Sorry about that.
Well,
I was just being my usual overwhelming.
We need that. We need everybody to hear you, Lucas. So thank you so much for that. And Men are not angels. We hear that from Judge Moore, you know, over and over, and we have to remember that. But, Luca, would you mind sharing a little bit? Because now, you know, the Tea Party is not just there in Italy. You know, it's expanded, as you were saying. Can you tell us what the concerns are in Japan, Australia, and some of these other nations that are coming and saying, we want to be a part of something good, a change for our country?
Yeah, well, the big problem in Australia right now is with the socialist government and with the great idea that they had to just put a carbon tax on everything. And especially they're going to put a big tax that is going to hit the mining industry. Mining industry is pretty much the only industry that is pushing forward the Australian economy. Australian economy is not really in a bad state. It's going along pretty well, because obviously everybody wants the natural resources that they've been blessed with. So the socialist government, they want more money to give it to their friends and to make some other, you know, outlandish government programs. And so they had this great idea. Let's put a big tax on mining industry. And everybody in Australia just thinking, yeah, but if you tax the mining industry, come on, the rest of the economy will suffer. And then with the carbon tax and everything, they're just going to say, I don't want to pay more my gasoline. I don't want to pay more my heating oil and stuff. And so they are rebelling. And they've been quite successful in doing so. The problem in Japan are slightly different, because Japanese society is very, very conservative, but not in a good way. Let's put it this way. They've been used for something like 70, 80 years to the whole idea of government intervention. And the Japanese government is very hands-on. They want to regulate everything. They have got a huge bureaucracy, and they're very good. They're very good. They're very precise. They just make things on time. Trains run perfectly and everything is okay. The only big problem is that Japan has got the biggest public debt of the whole planet. It's something like twice the size of the national product of the GDP of the country. It's 210%. It's ridiculous. It's so big, it's ridiculous, because Japanese economy has been pretty much, you know, stagnant for the past 25 years. And they call it the lost generation. They have people that have been growing up without any idea, any prospect of getting a good paying job like it used to be in the 80s. And right now, the government has been going with the usual Keynesian statist and socialist answer. Let's put more public money into everything, into public construction, roads, bridges to nowhere, you name it, they've done it. So everything that the Obama administration wanted to do in America, shovel-ready things and the usual, they tried that in Japan. They tried that. They spent a huge amount of money doing that, and the economy is going nowhere. And so right now there are some people in the Tokyo Tea Party, they have said, well, guys, we've been trying this for 20-plus years. It's not really working. Let's try something different. Let's try to cut taxes and to give money back to people, to give power back to people. That is their struggle. They're doing it in a very Japanese way. They're very organized. They're just more into the institutions, and they don't like to make any public shows. They don't like to just go on the street and have banners and flags. They're very Japanese in that. But we talk with them. They're the real deal. They're as true as the Tea Party in America, as the one in Italy, as the one in Australia, and so on. Tea parties come in all shapes and sizes. It's just that the message is always the same. We want more power. Let's, you know, take it from the government. And let's put money in our pockets, because we know how to spend it better than the government bureaucrats. And, you know, this is what is going on. And actually, I'm surprised that there is nothing like that going on in countries like Spain or Greece or Ireland or Portugal, because they're in the same situation of Italy, and definitely much better than Australia or Japan or other countries. But in some places, the message is very difficult to just go, and it's difficult to just convince people to get involved. But we are getting there. We thought for, you know, for the first 1.5 years in Italy, we thought, yeah, okay, it's a good maybe it's a good way. We believe in this. We believe in the method. We believe in the message. But we will never get enough traction because the mainstream media doesn't want to talk to us, because people do not want to get involved. And then when the situation became really bad, people are standing up and people are fighting. And right now there is an explosion of local groups, and there were a couple of guys, they were elected mayors in the last election. Last election, the second term was this weekend, and we got a couple of Tea Party guys. They became mayors of not really big cities, but small towns. It's a start. You know, it's a start. Right. Things are progressing. It takes a bit of time, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you a little bit, but let me say this in passing, because I have seen this before. You know, helplessness and hopelessness, and as you were saying, the unemployment rate and not having control. You know, they're very controlled, and a person not having control and then out of work. Japan has one of the highest suicide rates in the world. 24 per 100,000 people, 30,707 people in 2009 is the figures I'm looking at. And that's always been an interesting thing to me. It's heartbreaking because, you know, Japanese are so honorable, you know, and they're hardworking people. So something is very wrong, and control is not the answer. And but anyway, I want to ask you about your Tea Party a little bit, because we did not get to talk to you for several months, Luca, and I know that was a big deal for y'all. So if you can, give us a little update on what happened. Your Tea Party,
well,
you know, y'all had
Tea Party. We had the worldwide Tea Party in April, and it was actually quite a big deal, because we had something like 10 events in 10 different cities in Italy. And the biggest of whom, it was just a meeting, and we had to change the venue 2 times because there were a couple of speakers, and so we got a, you know, it is when you're doing a public event, you don't want a half empty room, so we got a smaller room, and then we said, oh crap, there's too many people, so we got a bigger one, and so we had to go and had another one, and there were more than 500 people there. And for a small town, it's because the town is something like 30, 40,000 people, it was a huge deal. And the other events, they were more like 100, 150 people. But it's very difficult because we've seen something in the past weeks. People that are very popular online, that they have thousands of followers on Twitter, and they just said, okay, I'll have a public meeting. And they were hiring, you know, they were just booking a huge hotel and everything. And they said, yeah, it's going to be packed. It's going to be full, crowded, and so on. And it wasn't, because it's not easy to convince people to get out of the house and go and do something. So that's what we have seen. So we have been reassured by that, because we were thinking, yeah, okay, 500 people is not really that much, because the situation is so bad that we would need 50,000. We would need 500,000 people to just go there. And the guys in the movement, some of them, they are really anxious. They say, I want to get there. And me and some other guys that were there from the beginning, we've been, you know, slamming on the brakes just a bit, because we are saying there are no shortcuts. So that's how you do it. You grow your local groups, and they will become more relevant, they will involve more people, they will become more active, and they will talk about local issues, because that's the only way to become relevant at a national level. So that's what is happening. Go on.
Well, Luca, I'm sorry, Luca, that, you know, we just love what you're doing and opening our eyes and ears, and Don Wildman is one of those, too, and I'm going to follow up with Neil. But I want to bring in Dawn Wildman. She is with a Tea Party in California, and you've known Dawn now. She's been on the show quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Thank God for her spending time for us. But one of her suggestions we did here in Alabama just recently, they're trying to pass a law that, and like you're saying, local, you know, this is a state issue, but really it's got national issue implications too, because it's a national, so it's really driving it in each state. But it's really about what Hitler knew as true, which is whoever owns the youth, the children, really owns the nation. And so we are trying to fight that. There was a bill that passed both houses in our state legislature, and I spoke to Donna, and she said, Diana, you know, get the people to call the governor. So, Don, I've followed you, and I'm praying there's people calling, but, you know, that's what's great about, you know, even the knowledge and wisdom of being a part of the Tea Party is that you can talk to one another, you can get ideas, and from there, you know, do something that, who knows, I don't know if this is going to stop it or not, but it's waking up people, and I know, Luca, that's one of the greatest things, whether you fail in that particular bill or whatever, the fact is you're waking more and more people up, and Don, that is so important, and I appreciate you, you know, telling us these things.
Well, it is, and the more people that actually get outraged or come to the argument or at least get curious about it, the better it is. You know, really beyond the idea of, you know, people get upset if something doesn't work. So you call the governor, everybody leans on the governor signs the bill anyway. You know, the fact that you've got people up and excited and actually paying attention to what's happening is the biggest, hardest part of this job. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult just because of everything we're seeing, the things that we see in Europe, this G8 now meeting, which is, you know, might as well be, you know, the Three Stooges or the Eight Stooges. You know, no real solution comes out of it, especially when you're talking about the same people over and over again, Obama, Merkel, France's president, that kind of thing. So I think just bringing average everyday Americans or citizens of your country to the argument and allowing them to see that even if it's not touching you now, it will soon. You know, people always complain about stuff because they don't want to see why it's occurring. But if you really pay attention to why it's occurring and you watch the train slowly go past you, it's a lot easier to deal with the issues than, you know, I'm in California. There's not a day that doesn't go by that we have our governor doing something increasingly more stupid than last week. So we know we're not going to win every battle. We've got that one, but we know if we put the weight of all of us towards things that are really, really, and make them public, and that are really, really important, and particularly stupid, such as high-speed rail now, you know, we're going to get people coming to the argument because they're finally hearing about it. Because your local news isn't containing this stuff. You know, national news doesn't do a good job of really following what's happening locally, even their affiliates. So, you know, it really has to be us. We have to be the town crier.
Oh, indeed, Don. And that's what we did. And I think on one of the bills earlier that we tried to do that, Ms. Barbara, we were the town crier, and I think it made a difference on one particular bill that, as far as I know, did not manage to pass. But, Ms. Barbara, I'd like to get you to introduce Neil Mammon because I know you have such an admiration for Neil and Luca and Don, but Neil has got something to really share that I think is going to change the world, Ms. Barbara.
I believe so. And, you know, all of us that have gotten a hold of Neil's book titled Jesus is Involved in Politics, Why Aren't You? Why Isn't Your Church? And then the subtitle is The Only Way to a Happier, Healthier, Safer, and Mutually Prosperous America. Boy, training manual for Christians all over the world, reference book, the source of many small group studies, which are going to include one here in Dothan, at least one. I spoke with our state school board member for our district here in Alabama, Betty Peters, who is on the front of everything good that happens in education in Alabama, and she opposes everything that's bad. But anyway, she is interested in getting his book and starting a small group study. You know, but anyway, this is just an incredible, this is a life changer, this is a world changer, a game changer. Neil's book, and God bless you, Neil. Welcome to City on a Hill radio show. Tell Luca, we wanted to get you and Luca together, and anyway, welcome.
Thank you.
Barbara,
thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Neil. Let me say one thing before, because this just hit me. You know, when your book reminds me of Paul speaking in Mars Hill. And it's so awesome to, you know, here we're seeing what's happening in Greece. And, you know, there's a way that really you can speak. If there's any of those, you know, listening to us, you can speak to them, because that's really what the book does. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and I was, thank you. You guys always flatter me and you say such great things. I don't want to come here and break the dream, you know. But Luca, nice to meet you, and thank you so much for being on the front lines. I mean, you guys are, it's one thing for us in America. We're protected. We're still protected, even though our protection is rapidly diminishing. But you're out there in the open. It's really there. But one thing I think that really struck me, and that's something that I think we all forget, and I, just for your background, Luca, I was born in Ghana in Africa, and I grew up in Sudan and Yemen, and my parents are from India originally, and so I'm an immigrant to the United States, an immigrant to this great land. But the thing that struck me that most Americans don't see is you were talking about how they gradually change the laws to start taking more and more control away. And I think that's the only way that works. And this is actually the, you know, last week we kind of mentioned this in briefly. It's Fabian socialism, right? The Fabian socialists were famous for saying, no, if you do revolution, you won't succeed, because then you won't get the hearts of everybody. So you got to do is to go slowly and make incremental changes until finally everybody's under your control. And that looks exactly what's been happening in Europe right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, most definitely. Nudge. You don't just go there and push them. You don't shove people there. You nudge them. Just a little bit, just under the radar, so that they don't realize that their freedom are being taken away from them, just slightly. And this is the problem. Obama is just like Adolf Hitler. He said exactly what he was going to do. When he said just before the election, he was just going to fundamentally transform America, most people did say, oh, yeah, this is just rhetorical. No. This was just like Mein Kampf. Just like the book from Hitler, his game plan was there. Everything was there. Everything was in the open. And this is what is going to happen everywhere. They just say it. It's there. If you just read their books, if you read the books that they've been studying for their whole lives, it's there. They've been saying that. Clover Pivot strategy, the whole solar risk thing.
Yeah.
You can see that. It's there. It's in the open. It's just that people are not talking about it. And that's why we, as Christians, we have to inform ourselves. And we have to help other people getting informed. And this is difficult, because sometimes you have the answers, but they are difficult to explain. And this is why we've been saying. I was talking with Diana and with Miss Barbara before, just a couple of hours ago. I would just send them a message with a really good article that was saying about the whole concept of class warfare, but just revisited. It's from Mises Institute, and it was really interesting, because it was showing how Karl Marx got it all wrong. It's class warfare, obviously, between the producers, so people that just work and earn their living, and the parasites, and the government workers, and people that just take away the wealth from someone else and get paid to do nothing. So this is, and it was really good, and it very detailed, and got full of references. And I was saying, oh my God, this would be exactly what people need to know. But unfortunately, it was quite scholarly, a bit too complicated. And that's why I was thinking, this is what we have to do. We have to go people to people. That's how I say it. I say it every time. A Tea Party activist is made one by one. You don't go there, you go on TV, yeah, okay, fine, you say something, but you don't create an activist. You create an activist by meeting him in your local restaurant, in your local church, going there, talking with him, not once, twice, three, four, five, 10 times, and then all of a sudden, he will be convinced, and he will stand up, and he will do something for the movement. But it's difficult. And this is why books like yours, sir, are extremely, extremely powerful, because they are a multiplier, because they allow people like me to just go there and benefit from your work and then read it to someone, or just use it in my blog, or when I'm doing some public speaking, and so on. This is why we need more people involved just in this way, because that's the way you win wars.
Amen, yeah. Now, is the concept of, you're obviously in the UK, but in Italy or the UK, is the concept of small group studies common in the church? Do they have Bible studies?
Unfortunately not. Especially in Catholic countries, it's very difficult to do that. Because Catholic tradition is always like, I am the preacher. I will tell you how things are. You don't have to think. You don't have to read scripture. You don't have to read anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's growing. It's growing because even in Catholic churches and stuff, there are people that are getting involved. And it's difficult because they have other priorities. Most of them, they're pro-life. And they are very active on one issue, but when you talk to them about economic issues, they just close down and they just think, oh, no, this is not what I'm worried about. No, this is not my thing. And I'm just saying, but one thing doesn't preclude the other. If you are pro-life and you don't want big government thing, well, you got to care about economic freedom as well.
Well, Luca, let me bring this up, Luca. I'm sorry, let me bring this up, because Ms. Barbara had emailed me a YouTube video, Ms. Barbara, that was put out by the Catholic Church. And Don, I know that there was a meeting a while back where the Catholics and really people of, other faiths were joining in and making a stand about Obama and the contraceptive issue. So really we already have opened doors in a way, because those same people that you see on Facebook, you can now kind of reach, and to have something like, to listen to something like a Neil Mammon presentation, a Mars Hill presentation, and it's really a good lesson on how to, make them see that we all have something in common. And that's basically, give that example at the very beginning of your book, Neil, about, you were in line and the lady that you talked to at the end was, hey, send me the book, or I want to read your book when it comes out.
It's because usually when you talk to Christians, they are exactly what you said. Oh, no, we shouldn't get involved in government. We should stay out of it. And so they're, in my book, I have like what I call burning the straw man. It's like 10 arguments or 10 statements that Christians generally believe that you are trying to do. Like you're, one of them is, you want a theocracy or you want a Taliban-like government. The other one is you're saying that the government is the only way to reach people for Christ, So all these kind of false assumptions that they have. And usually if you deal with these assumptions, you say, no, these are the things that we're not dealing with. We're not saying that government is the only way to reach people for Christ. We're not saying that we want a theocracy. In fact, the last thing we want is a theocracy, because if you recall, whenever there's a theocracy, people, what they do is they persecute other people of faith. They actually don't persecute the atheists, because the atheists will say, oh, yeah, I'll believe whatever you want me to believe, because they don't believe it anyway, right? But it's the people who believe other things that are going to be in trouble and don't want to compromise. So there's a bunch of these that, you can talk to people about, and that actually usually alleviates all those pre-conclusions that they have and allows them to say, okay, well, maybe I am interested. But I think the most powerful thing that gets me to have people start thinking about why Christians need to be involved in government is to just go through a small list of all the laws that Christians have changed to protect the innocent, to protect the poor, to protect everybody, to protect rights. And, like I go through that, for instance, it's only because of Christians that child prostitution is illegal. It's only because of Christians that slavery is illegal. It's only because of Christians that gladiatorial combat is illegal. In Italy, obviously, this is a very something that happened right there. I mean, it happened in the Colosseum that they stopped, a Christian went in and stopped the gladiatorial combat. And in fact, in Scandinavia, the only reason why it's illegal to kidnap your bride and marry her against her will is because a Christian went to the king and said it's against God's moral law for people to do this. And the king said, yeah, that's right. So over and over again, if you can list all these different laws that Christians got involved to change, and the only way they got them to change was going through politics. And a great example of this is for 200 years in southern United States, we had slavery. But nothing happened. We had Christianity and we had slavery, and the Christians were Christians, and they were not stopping slavery. It wasn't until those Christians or some Christians got involved politically and started to change the laws. In this case, it resulted, unfortunately, in a war. But it wasn't until people got involved that things happened. And so in the same way, maybe we can encourage Christians to realize the connection between politics and moral laws, politics and God's laws. And then they get interested, usually.
Well, you know, Luca, you could go back, you could use the Magna Carta as such a good example, because it was a Roman Catholic Archbishop of Canterbury in 1215 that actually did the writing and really, really got the barons and the noblemen fired up to require the king to limit the power, his power, and to recognize the rights of the people. And I love to use that example. I think it's a really powerful one. But I'm sorry, Neil, what were you
saying? No, that's a great example. So things like that. Again, of course, Luca is the one who has to tell us if it will really work, because the attitudes and the
culture. Yeah, unfortunately, going back will be very difficult, because nowadays we have to fight against the whole indoctrination done by public schools, university, and the media and so on. They've been filling the head of people with such bullshit. Sorry for the word, but that's what it is. There's all this, you have the right to a house, you have the right to have a decent living, you have the right to do that. Nobody looks at things the other way. When you say that people have the right to have, a house, it means that you're actually forcing someone else to build that house and to sell it to them for the price that you think it's fair. So it's all about control. So and that's why you talk to people and sometimes they say, oh, you capitalists, you're taking away the money from the workers because you earn more. And I say, yeah, but you want your wage on time, right? Before I sell my stuff. So I'm giving you in advance your money. And I shouldn't receive anything for that? I'm risking.
Have you seen
that's
the
my
Catholic
money. That's
video?
My company.
Luca, yes? Have you seen the video that the Catholics in America did? I'll send it to you. But it is the first time.
No, it was really good. But unfortunately, with the Catholic Church, it is always, slippery slope with them. Because they get fired up on particular.
I totally get that. I mean, after we did the Standing for Religious Freedom rallies here in the United States, I asked friends who kept touting what Dolan was saying and this and that, and I said, listen, if you guys actually get this waiver from Health and Human Services here in the United States, are you going to go back to your same complacent, hey, we're all good, we got what we needed, and not stand up anymore? And the funny thing was is that I saw a lot of Catholics get very quiet because that was the MO. You know, we're willing to fight as long as it affects us, but we're not necessarily going to go into the ring for you. So,
No, that's the problem.
But it was huge. I mean, it is really huge. I have Catholic friends everywhere that are sending me emails saying that they are surprised that this was such a bold stand by the church.
The ways of the Catholic Church, they are quite imperscrutable because they live in a different world. We have our own objectives, we have our own battles, we have our own stuff. We see problems for what they are, and we're just looking at things from our own perspective, our own life. The Catholic Church thinks in terms of centuries, thinks in terms of millennia. They see things with the bigger picture, and that's why they were actually for government intervention. They are for socialist things, but up to a point, because they think that there is a shortcut to get and do the greater amount of good, because they think that, okay, if I put the right people in politics and they subscribe to my point of view, to my worldview, and they are in charge, they will give people, they will give money to poor people, they will just ban abortion, they will just institute a law that protects marriage, traditional marriage as it is, and so on. And they see it as a shortcut. I think it's very naive and it's very dangerous, because there are no shortcuts. There is the only way to do this kind of things is by convincing people. And to do it, but not with the government, because if you give government the power to do everything, and to give you everything. You're also giving him the power to take everything away from you. And that's a very dangerous thing, and they've been doing that everywhere in the world. And I still think that the Catholic Church has got a long struggle ahead because they've been infiltrated by all kinds of socialist thinking. If you go to Latin America, the whole theology of liberation thing is practically Marxism. And they are very dangerous because if you go to Brazil and you see socialists and they're just advocating for, oh, let's tax the rich, let's take away everything, and then they're just kneeling down and they're praying to God. And I'm just thinking, okay, I don't know exactly which Bible are you reading, but in my Bible, I can't find anything like that, anything. But they're using religion for their means. It's very dangerous. And so that's why every time I'm just, we try to have collaboration with Catholic groups, and it's very difficult because they don't really seem to have everything figured out. They, freedom, it's not an absolute for them. I am coming from a Catholic family, but in my family, freedom and liberty was everything. So that's what you had. You didn't compromise with freedom. But maybe that's why, because I'm lucky. I was raised in such a way. My grandfather, when there was the fascist government in Italy, he escaped. He went to France because he didn't want to take the party, he didn't want to get into the party, and that was the only way to get a job back then. And he said, I will not stand for that. I'm a free man. I will go somewhere else. And he went to France, and that's what he did. And then he came back, silly of him, okay, and so on. And that's
well, you know,
why,
Luca, I recognize everything that you're saying, and I understand. I'm just hoping that here in this country, that the Obama contraception mandate and the HHS mandates are waking people up, and this can be the spark that really starts a fire, you know, in the bellies of Catholics, who many of whom are freedom loving people and serve in our military and so forth. And this just came over on Facebook, that it's breaking news that there are now 43 Catholic institutions that have filed 12 lawsuits over the constitutionality of Obama's contraception mandate. So this is building steam, and again, I'm just hoping and praying that this is what is going to be used to bring about great change, a way of life change.
Well, and Luca brings up
that,
really.
I hope that it's not a diversion, though, because that's my worry. I'm worrying that it's all a diversion. It's always the sleight of hand, because Obama is very good at doing that. Well, his handlers, because the guy can actually think for himself. And so his handlers, they're very good at doing that. They're just sleight of hand. They're just they're doing something else.
Yeah.
So while the whole Catholic world
right.
is busy doing that, they're just taking away your freedom somewhere else. So eyes open.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Marxist techniques is not only the sleight of hand that you're talking about, but also to inundate people so you demoralize them. So you keep hitting them with issue after issue after issue after issue, and by the 10th issue, people are just like, I'm just tired of fighting. And so that's a very Marxist methodology, if you will.
I wanted to get this in before we left, because you guys know that I love a good book. And so when a good book explains things to people in a way that they haven't looked at before, I always like to bring it to everybody's attention. And what you're talking about right now goes directly to this book I'm actually reading at the same time I'm reading Neil's book. But it's written by a guy named Larry Kelly, who's from California here. He's one of my favorite writers. He's written for Town Hall and a bunch of other periodicals. And he's just... He is a great commentator on what is happening in California and the country, because I think California is just a microcosm of what we see happening nationally and internationally, more so internationally. But he's written a book called Lessons from Fallen Civilizations, Can a Bankrupt America Survive the Current Islamic Threat? And one of the things in here that he states is he has 10 immutable laws that govern the fall of civilizations. So everything from No nation has ever survived once its citizenry ceased to believe its culture worth saving. Appeasement of a ruthless outside power always invites aggression. You know, if people have, if they can avoid a continuous internal warfare, it will have a new order imposed from without. So all this struggle internally of what's happening in the country, we then see a lot more of the socialists, the communists coming in going, hey, we've got utopia for you. When a free people through taxation is deprived of its ability to acquire wealth and prosperity, collapse is presaged. So, I mean, it goes down, it has 10 of these. And, you know, so he draws this distinction about what we've seen with the fall of Rome, the fall of Greece, and the correlation to what we see happening now, not just nationally in the U.S., but even internationally. And it was amazing to see that, I mean, really, truly, history does repeat itself. If you don't learn anything from history, you are destined to repeat it. Mm-hmm. And so you have this period of time where one of the strongest correlations between, I think, Neil's book and this book and some everything we talk about is about being free men, you know, our unalienable right to be free. We have had the ability in the U.S. to take that for granted, I'm sorry to say, but we have. And 235 years, we just expect that it's always going to be this way. And every right that we have that gives us this freedom, the freedom of speech, for instance, to allow, you know, Marxists and communists to come in and parade and do whatever, they're protected by that same right. This would never happen in any other country. This is what always amazes me, that most Americans don't seem to wrap their head around. You would die in almost any other country doing what you're doing. And you're trying to fight for that freedom. You know, so it's a simple proposition, but one I think people really lose the value of. They really take it for granted. We're thinking of every argument in the world to stand up our argument with, and the reality is that if you were in any other country doing what you're doing, you would, you know, have bigger problems. So, you know, it is really a destiny if we don't get this up on its legs, if we don't get the reality for free men everywhere, that you are losing your freedom every single day. Little bits of it is being taken. And you're exactly right. There is stuff going on. There's treaties out there that we're looking to sign that are horrible, you know, that have to do with rights of a child, that have to do with our oceans, that have to do with our Second Amendment right. So there's always something else going on out there. And by the way, I'd love to blame it all on the current president in the administration, but this stuff's been going on for a while, and a lot of those entrenched in Congress are part and parcel of the problem. So, you know, I think we really need to look at who we've got in this country, who's going to back being free. Who stands for freedom? That's my big thing this election is, who's going to stand for freedom? I don't need more regulation. I don't need more laws to give me the right to. I already had the right to. If you read Neil's, you understand that. You already had the right to.
Luca, I want to ask, you know, in Neil's book, he talks about the percentage of people that do not vote that have like-minded. Is there such a problem like that of people not registered to vote that may be like-minded as you? Is there a gap there?
No, well, fortunately, in one way, in Europe, we don't need registration to vote. So it's kind of compulsory, or in some countries it's compulsory to vote. In other countries, it's pretty much mandated, so you don't need to vote. But we've seen that in the local elections that were last, so 15 days ago, and then last week, we had two elections, and yesterday there was a second turn of the mayoral elections in some cities, and we've seen that the voting attendance is going down significantly because people are fed up with politics. If you just go and look at the opinion polls, they don't trust any politician. They don't trust banks. They don't trust the government. They don't trust anyone. It's just that right now they are just, you know, doing that, and they don't care. They're just thinking about their own private thing, their own life and their own family, and they see that the things are going bad, that they're going worse and even worse, but everybody's thinking for themselves. And that's why there is a huge potential, like it's happening in Greece, for populist movements and extreme, you know, right-wing, but not really right-wing. It's well, I like to call them black socialists, the Nazi movement and so on, because they will just veil themselves in nationalist thinking, but just to propose more of the same, which is more government, more taxes, and more and less freedom for everyone. This is the danger that we have in Italy, because right now all the media structure is compact in supporting this government that, I would like to remind this to everyone, wasn't elected by anyone and was imposed on Italy by the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and the European Central Bank, because they wanted to have someone who was able to get the money in order to just, you know, save them from the bad bets that they made. Because they invested in Italian T-bonds, which are, well, they're still worth something right now. But come on, you know that this government was overspending like crazy, and all the other governments have been doing that, right, left, whatever. Spending, public spending in Italy has been going up for the past 70 years. So it's always a constant. There are more people living on the backs of other people. And in some way, probably thanks to the Lord and the fact that Italians are pretty hardworking and creative people, we've been able to keep the boat afloat for so many years, even if there were a growing number of people that were sitting on the other side of the boat, and they were just saying, you row, and I'm not doing anything. I'll just live off your back. And right now, there is not enough money anymore. The system is going down. People are running away from the country. They're taking away the money. And I read a Paul Krugman article on the New York Times, and he said that in less than 1 month, Italy and Spain will probably close the bank accounts. And so they will freeze all banks' accounts because they're afraid that people will just take away money and put them somewhere else. Same thing that happened in Argentina and any other country. And I think that usually Paul Krugman is a windbag and is good for nothing and is always saying the same things over and over again. Yeah, we should spend more, spend more, spend more. That's it. The government should spend more. But right now, he hit the nail right on the head. This is what is going to happen. They're going to freeze accounts. They're going to just take away money in any way they can because they're fighting for their survival. And right now, we've seen that. In Italy, there are sometimes tax collectors go to some people, and actually happened 3 weeks ago, and some guy was so frustrated, and he just beat them and kicked them really hard. It just happened, and there were mail bombs, they were throwing, you know, Molotov cocktails to them, fire bombs, and so on. It's going on, and people are getting really frustrated, but they have no structure. They don't know what they want. So there is a lot of anger growing in some countries, in Italy, Spain, Greece, definitely, not French. France, not so much, but it's going to happen in a few months. It's a lot of anger, but there is no structure. There is no structure. People don't think about that. So they will be at the mercy of, you know, we call him something like the man someone sent from God to save us. So there will be one guy standing up and saying, I have all the answer, it's their fault. Last time it was the Jews, this time it will be someone else. I don't know exactly who will it be again. Maybe, I don't know, small entrepreneurs, they will go there and confiscate everything. And finally, they will have socialism, and they will be so happy. And I only hope that my parents are still able to get a plane and leave the country. Because that's my real worry right now. I'm really worried that I will have to just go there. That's why I just changed the house, and now I'm living with my brother, and we have an extra bedroom, just in case. You never know. We're spending more. The rent is much more expensive than it was, but we have an extra room. Why? Because I don't know that. Maybe in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from now, 1 month from now, I will have to just go there and take my parents and bring them here. because we have jobs, we can support them. And this is really how bad I think that things are or will be.
Wow. Well, we have to give them to, you know, God is good. And we're here in City on Hill, we always love to close in prayer, which we're going to go over. And I thank you, Luca, for always doing this for us, taking the time. But we'll go over because I want to bring some more points, if I may, which is, you know, Neil, I think your great book, what's really, I think, is that Mars Hill, you know, you teach people how to think the way that we should think in order to reach others who are, you know, not like-minded but really have things in common. And I think that is going to be the key, you know, in turning things around, which I wonder – do you have a tract or something, Neil? I know that, you know, Luca will probably get the book, and it's available online. That's how I'm reading it. But because and Luca, when you read it, oh, wow, it is just a wow book. But, Neil, do you have a tract? Because, really, if we could get a tract from you, kind of like what you were, you know, when I read there about the Mars Hill, that makes me think, you know, what you do is you take points and you allow us to think of, first of all, like Paul did, find something you have in common. And right now, you know, whether you be an atheist or a believer, the economy, you want things to get better. That is a commonality. Mm-hmm. And really there's ways to look at things. And success really is built on God's ways. That's where true success is. And but I believe that this could be an opening, Neil, if you had such thing. I would love to have it to give it out to people, really.
Well, I mean, I would love to make one. In fact, that's I had not, to have to tell the truth, I had not even considered it before. So now that you've brought it up, I think we'll have to spend some time on it. Can you, in fact, if you should send me an email with what you think should be in it, since it's the first time thinking about it, we will definitely have to get to work on that. Yeah.
And Ms. Barbara and maybe even Luca would have some thoughts on what maybe they'd like to see in it, and you can just work from there.
Yeah,
but,
too.
But we,
yeah.
And Don, I think we've lost Don. But we need something in common, and that tract would be a common. And your book is so full of God's wisdom, and it's really timely, because Luca needs help. Really, those in Europe, I mean, there are brothers and sisters. We're all in one planet called Earth that God had created for us, but we have abused, unfortunately, the rights that he has given us, and now we're on the defensive all the time. So anyway, I want to just give this to the Lord, but I want to ask Ms. Barbara. Ms. Barbara, do you have some thoughts that you want to just express also? I know I'm not giving you enough time.
No. Actually, I don't. I've just taken with the conversation. I wanted to hear every word. And I am thinking about what Dawn said about her question is, who stands for freedom? Now, to me, that sounds like a really good question that we need to be speaking all over this country, in every place, and all over the world. Who stands for freedom? And that's what I'm going to be going with. Thank you so much. I have the privilege and the pleasure of picking up some of my grandchildren, so I'm going to leave you now. God bless you all.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. God bless you. Well, you know, I just really thank God for both of you for such a time as this, and for the listeners, you know, whether you be in Japan, Australia, Greece, Italy, you know, Netherlands, wherever, there is hope. We know the hope, and, you know, that's what America was founded on. That's what America, that's what made America great, and that's why Neil wrote such a book, because, you know, you saw it, and, you know, if you're not born in this nation, you realize, wow, how blessed you are to have the freedom and the rights. And, you know, it's time for us to wake up. And I thank God for the opportunity for Luca to speak to you, Neil, because, you know, Luca is like you. He is searching. He wants to help. He needs resources and new thoughts. And, you know, Luca, I'm just thinking everybody that you share what you're sharing, your heart, your passion, you know, they cannot help but think, what drives this man? You know, I'm sure they're curious.
I don't know, madness, I suppose.
No.
I suppose madness, because being the Tea Partier in Europe is really signs of, you know, mental decay or something. Because, come on, you've got to be a little bit crazy to do that. But I'm glad to see that.
No, I don't think it's madness. But, you know, I do say this because I went before a pastor today, and I spoke to him. And I said, you know, I do this out of love. I tell him what, Luca, you're trying to say, and Neil, what you're trying to say to the body of Christ, that it really can make a humongous difference, which is, you know, as much as I love, I know that God loves me so much more. And out of a grateful heart, yes, I may be apathetic, I may be tired at times, but I'm going to get up the next day because I know that in God's eyes, I am worth it. And in my eyes, the people around me are worth it. All of us have precious ones that we love, and they're worth it. You know, Luke, I just love the way you spoke about your parents. You know, they're worth it because, unfortunately, a lot of these governments, they're the last people that they really even want to think about as, you know, as helping. And so we want to give this to God in prayer. And, Luca, thank you so much. And, Neil, your heart's desire is really to help, all of us. Would you mind closing us in prayer and praying for Luca also and really the world?
Amen. Will do. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the passion that Luca has. Lord, I know that it's a burden that you've given him, and it's sometimes it's a heavy burden because you can see the things that people are doing to destroy themselves, to destroy their future, to destroy their children's future, Lord. And we pray that you will give him the patience, the compassion, and also the wisdom to actually reach out to fellow people and maybe even people who don't agree with him, that he may have the winsomeness to convince them, to reach out to them, to convince them of the ideas and the dangers so they may see that there is an alternate way, Lord. We pray for the people in Greece right now. This can't be an easy time for them. I know there's a lot of insecurity, a lot of pain, and it looks like there's going to be pain and insecurity and suffering coming too, Lord. We especially pray for the movement in Japan. If we start seeing changes in nations like Japan that can suddenly go away from the socialist view to a complete free market where actually people have freedoms and their rights are protected, Lord, it will actually have an incentive for the rest of the world to say, hey, look, it's working there. So we pray that you will give Japan a successful changeover period. And it won't be so long that people don't even see it happening, Lord. But most of all, we pray for all the worthy warriors. We are just a few of them, Lord, but there are so many others that are day in, day out, believe that their love and their compassion for people insist that they go out there and they reach out to people. So, and most of all, of course, Lord, we bring you again to Luca, Lord, that you will give him an opportunity to be used greatly in your glorification in this manner. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. And Luca, would you mind telling the folks your website if they want to join up, if they're of Italian descent or anybody that just really wants to talk to you.
I know I've been promising it for weeks and months, and unfortunately we still haven't figured out a way to just do it. I might as well take things matter in my hands and do it myself, because probably that's the only way of having it done. Right now you have so it's www.tpartyitalia.it. And that's an Italian-only website, but with Google Translate or with Bing or with any other kinds of things, you will have a translation of the articles that many people in the movement are putting there, and so you can get a feel of what is going on in Italy. And then there is the other one, it's wtp2012.net, and it's the website of the Worldwide Tea Party, and hopefully in a few days we will have all the pictures and all the articles and all the coverage of all the events that happened in the weekend of April the 14th, I think, all over the world. We've had events everywhere, so this will be good. And that one is in English, by the way. So,
thank you, Luca. How about you, Neil, if you don't mind, share our people where they can get their book and your website, have a Facebook page, too.
If you want to find out information about the book, it's www.JesusIsInvolvedInPolitics.com. www.JesusIsInvolvedInPolitics.com, and you can find out more about the book, about the program, the study guide. You can download the study guide from there, and also what we're encouraging people to do is to start small study groups with the book so you can winsomely get these ideas across to other people without arguing, without fighting, and in love. So again, www.JesusIsInvolvedInPolitics.com.
Okay, so there you have it. Our website is www.cityonahill.tv, and we ask that you pray for these folks, Neil Mammon, Luca Bochy. They're defending our rights. And may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. And we look forward to having Luca and Neil again next month. Well, have a good day. Have a wonderful day. May God bless you. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Oh, thank you. Bye, Luca. Bye, Neil.
Goodbye.